That's.
You want to look at that?
Yeah, it's an easy fair one.
Everybody else has to sit around.
Grateful for inviting me this evening. That's, thank you so much. I'm told to speak, it says there Menachet Tofer, so I was told Menachet Tofer or anything else, so I chose the anything else, so you'll forgive me there. So I want to look at an interesting sugya, which relates to something that we all do or don't do every week, and that's the question of folding up your talit after davening on Shabbat, folding clothes in general. I want to look at a Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara, and a Machlokes in the Rishonim as to how to understand this sugya. So we've got a Mishnah on Kufyud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "Mekaplin et hakelim afilu abra v'chamisha pa'amim." So you can fold kelim, clothing, really, even four or five times. "Umatzin et hamitot mileli Shabbat l'Shabbat." And you can also make the beds on from after Friday night, so they'll be straighter on Shabbat. Avalumi Shabbat le Motzei Shabbat, but not on Shabbat for the sake of Motzei Shabbat. Now, if we look in the Rashi says, "Mekaplin et hakelim." I've marked it at the side. Begadim. That's kelim of begadim. We're not talking about pots and pans. Kishe poshtan mekaplin. So when you take your clothes off, you fold them up. At least that's what we're told to do. Because your clothes are usually, after they've been washed, they're very soft. And if you just leave them in a pile on the floor, then they get all creased. And therefore, you want to fold them up to get rid of the creases. So it's very important. Shitat Rashi is, the reason why you're folding them up is to make sure there are no unwanted creases in them. Now, if we look in the Gemara, Amrej ve Rabbi Yanai, Lo shanu el abadam echad, where we said in the Mishnah that you can fold up your clothes even four or five times, we're talking about only where you've got one person doing it. Avar bishnei b'nei adam, if you've got two people doing it, lo, you can't do it together with two people. Look at Rashi again. Rashi says, bishnei b'nei adam, kishim kaplin otan, when you fold them up, mefashtin kimtehen, then they smooth out any creases that are in them, v'nirin kimetaknim, and it looks like you're fixing, you're doing mitaking mana in some sense. So Rashi is very important here. He's telling us, he's told us two things. He's told us, number one, he's told us that the purpose of this mekaplin is to get rid of any creases. And the other thing that he's telling us is there's a concern here of mitaking mana. That's really what the concern is.
If it's two people, then it's shnayim shosu.
That's Shnayim Sha'asu only applies with a malacha, which you can really do with one person, and two people do it together, so then they're going to be patur. But here, the malacha is going to be better with two people rather than one. Meaning, if it's one person, you're not really doing it at all. You're not. That's the point. You're not really getting rid of the creases with just one person. So where you've got two people, dafka, it's going to be a problem.
Dafka with one beggar, two people and one beggar.
Yeah, so you've got a large talus or something. You've got two people. If you fold it up yourself, you can't smooth it out so well, you can't fold it so well. You've got two people fold it out together, two of them smoothing it out, holding it, stretching it very tightly, and then you're getting.
Russia, there's not much more dafka with one beggar, though, in Russia or in the Gemara.
That's, I don't see why it would be, I mean, two people with two begadim, that's the same as one person with one begad, isn't it?
How can you do two begadim and not the same
thing? Why is it that two people, it looks like they're in a second mana as opposed to one person?
Because two people will do it more effectively. That's it. If I've got something which I don't want to be, I don't want it to get creases in it, I want it to be absolutely, you pull it out, hold it tightly, pull it out, fold it over neatly, and all that, it's going to be much better than if I'm just doing it by myself.
Well, Rashi's implying that it's not actually necessarily better because it's just nearing kimsakim.
Okay, you're right. I mean, it might be that it's not really mitake. It's right. Still going to be better, but the exact definition of what mitake mana is, maybe mitake mana is where you're really doing something substantial to it. Here, you're not doing something really substantial to it, so it's the level of issa is going to be less. Yeah, it's only going to be nireka mitake rather than mitake.
That is the issa here is mitake
kedush. Yeah,
which comes under which?
That's it's a function of. it's an Issa Drabanan of Molid and, and such things. It's not an Av Malacha. It's not enough. Let's keep an eye on it, and let's go on a little bit further and see a little bit more, because we'll see that there's a machloket in the Rishonim exactly what's happening here. So Lo Shana Rav Rishonim Adam Lo. V'Adam Echad Nami Lo Amran. If you've got one person doing it, Lo Amran Ela B'Chadashim. Right? If it's newer item. Aval Bishanim Lo, but if it's an old item, then you can't do it, even if it's one person. Again, look at Rashi, Yishanim. Kipulam Mataknan Yoter. Right? It's an old garment which is already might be sort of a bit creased and messed up. Then when you straighten it out, that's more of a tikkun. Yoter Min HaChadashim. Shachadashim Kashin Me'alehin. You've got something which is brand new, so it's going to be crease resistant in any event. But Ein Mamarin Likmot, it doesn't develop creases so quickly. The Chadashim Lo Ami Lo Amran, and even with new garments, we didn't say that you can do it Ela Bilavanim. If it's light colour, white or light coloured clothing, Aval Bitzvuim, coloured clothing or dark clothing, Lo, you can't do that. Why? What's the Tzvuim? Rashi just says Tzvuim, Kipulan Matakna. Again, it might be that, you know, with white clothing, creases aren't noticeable so much. Maybe with the darker clothing, it is more noticeable. Lo Amran Ela Shein Ola Ha. And we only said it's where you haven't got anything that you can change it, any alternative to wear. But if you've got an alternative beged to wear, law, then you're not allowed to do it. Tana shall beit Rabban Gamliel law him with kaplin clay lavan shelahen. Even their white clothing they wouldn't fold. They had something else that they would be able to put on. So understanding it according to Rashi, Rashi says the whole concern is one of Mataki. Manner, you want to resist any creases developing in it, and that's why you fold it, and you're going to be wearing it again on the same day, and that's why this whole issue of ein ola hachlif, meaning I've got I take off a shirt, I don't want just to plomp it down somewhere and it get creases in it, so I'm allowed to fold it up so that it won't develop creases. But if I've got another shirt hanging in the cupboard, then I wouldn't be able to do that because I've in any event got a beged which I can wear on Shabbat. So we've seen we've got five conditions from this Mishnah and the Gemara to allow me to fold things up. It has to be that I'm folding it up for use on the same day. It has to be that I'm doing it by myself. It has to be that it's new beged. New beged. It has to be that it's white, and it has to be that I haven't got any alternative. Now, there's an interesting tosfot towards the top of the page. Tosfot says, "Mekaplin kelim mikan lamadnu daaso lekapel talitot shel beit hakneset." So, when you leave shul on Shabbat morning, you can't fold up your talit. Nefishayim tarek machar, because you don't need it for Shabbat, and therefore you're going to be transgressing the requirements of this Mishnah. So now let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll first look at the Tor and the Beit Yosef, and then the Shulchan Aruch. So what does the Tor tell us? Mekaplin kelim Shabbat tarek Shabbat lov shambo bayom v'davka b'adam echad aval b'nei adam lo d'havei tikun tvei. So what's the concern as far as the Torah is concerned? It's a concern, like Rashi says, a concern of tikkun. Ba'afilu ba'adam echad, it's davka b'chadashim, tahani kol zman shelo rochatsu, olavanim she'en ha'kipul metaknan kol kach. It all needs to be cases where folding it up isn't so significant. V'hu she'en olahachlif, aval yishanim otzvim, or she'ish olahachlif, it's going to be prohibited. Now, the Beit Yosef brings two important shitot. Mordechai katav to lo mitzah lekapel, ela b'seide kipul lo harishon. It's only an issur of kippul if you're folding it up exactly as it was previously. Aval shelo b'seide kipul lo nired mutar. If you're folding it up in a more, I would say, in a more casual manner, rather than in a very focused, deliberate manner. If you're folding it up in a more casual manner, it's going to be mutar. Why? Because you haven't got such a tikkun there, in the sense that it's you're folding it. You don't want it lying around on the ground. But if you just fold it not in the exact way that it's supposed to be, so you're not really straightening it out. You're not really smoothing it out in a proper fashion. The katav, the kolbo. Now the kolbo is even more. Beikol, Vachshav Shenagu Lekapel Kol HaKelim. So the Kol, this seems to be a machloket between the Kolbo and the Tosfot. Tosfot says you can't fold up the Tali Totshav Beit HaKneset, whereas the Kolbo is saying, no, the minag is that you do fold them up. That's Shenagu Lekapel Kol HaKelim. Esha de Kippul Tidan Lo Dami Lekippul Shelahem. Maybe the way that we fold things up isn't the way that they used to fold them up. Shayu Kepedin Ma'od Lefashet Kematav Lehanichot Tachat HaMachbesh. They did it, when they folded things up, they folded it up in a really, particular way. You know, if you go to a fancy hotel or something like that, you know, you've got a maid who makes up the room and, you know, makes the bed. You know, the bed is so, the sheets are so tightly folded back and everything that it's, you know, it's a bit difficult to get into it, etc. So what the Kolbo is saying, similar to the Mordechai, but he's taking, he's being more radical, more extreme. The Kolbo is saying is that even if it's a regular folding is not what we're talking about. We're talking about matake mana, which is something which is very deliberate, very accurate, and very very smooth.
You're saying
it's
not like Tosfos?
That's, well, Tosfos is saying you can't fold up the Tali Tot Shel Beit HaKneset.
He wasn't focusing on the Masakin angle. Tosfos is focusing on the fact
that you don't need it. So that's what we're going to see, perhaps, is what the real Machloket Rishonim is to what's the real concern of the mission of the Gemara here. Is it a concern of Matake Mana, which is what Rashi's saying, or is it a concern, actually, a concern of Hachana, which is what Tosfot seems to be saying? So, exactly, that's... So it would seem, you know, the Beit Yosef, quoting the Kolbo is saying you can fold it. So we could say it in two ways. Either we could say the Machloket is, the Kolbo is just, focused only on the issue of Matake Mana, whereas Tosfot's focused only on the issue of Hachana, or we can say it differently. We could say that even Tosfot is concerned about Matake Mana, but the Kolbo is saying unless it's a really deliberate way of folding it, then it's not going to be a problem. But hold those two options of understanding that.
There's still a total of five.
Yeah, we're still going to have those five conditions, whichever way it is. So Shulchan Aruch says, "Mekabrin kelim b'Shabbat l'tzorach Shabbat, lav sham bo b'yom v'davka v'adam echad v'chadashim shadayim l'nikabzu olavanim ve'inu l'achlef." So again, if you're missing any of those five conditions, aso, you can't do it. And then is going to be mutar b'chol inyan. So that's the view of the Mordechai. If you do it not in the regular way, so it's going to be permitted. And certainly if we say that it's matake mana, then we understand why it's going to be permitted, because this isn't really matake mana. If you're folding it not in the regular way, you're not really smoothing it out properly. And even if we say that it's an issue of hachana, we might be able to say that the Mordechai also wouldn't be worried about that, because seeing as you're not folding it in the proper way, you're not really preparing it for its next use. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that Tosfot and says, "Lachein asur lekapel atalit afal bishem mitzvat tzitzit kol hayom v'yachol hitatzeif bo mikol makom kevan she'ino b'da'ato lehitatzeif bo asur im lo b'makom she'nagu lehitatzeif b'talit ot b'mincha." So he's quoting the Tosfot. The Shulchan Aruch cited the view of the Mordechai, Veneer in Dvarav. Mishnah Berurah says, "V'chein satmu acharonim l'dina." That's true. That's how we pasken. Nevertheless, mikol makom misherotel achmir alatzmo shelul kapel klal vaday adif. So it's certainly, you know, that we can rely on the Mordechai, and it's a very valid shita, but it's not an uncontested shita. There are shitos in the Rishonim who say that even if it's a shelul kipul or Rishon, it's still going to be awesome. And therefore, that would be vadai adif. So the Mishnah Berurah is endorsing the Mordechai, but you know, if it doesn't really make, you've got somewhere to put your talus, whatever, then put it somewhere else. Now the Aruch HaShulchan is going to show us a different way of learning the whole sugya. You're going to start off by quoting the Rambam.
The Issa Vachona is for the weekday, or if I'm quoting it on Shabbat.
It's for next Shabbat. Next you're Shabbat. Going to ask. So that would seem to be still an issue of Hachana. That's the Achronim talk about that. That's it's still Hachana for after Shabbat. That's Katava Rambam Perek Kafbet Din Kafbet. Asol Takin Beit Yad Shel Begadim. Ulashavran shavarim shavarim. Now you can't fix the sleeve of your clothing and break it up into pieces. Now what does this mean that you're breaking up the sleeve of your clothing? What it seems to mean is, you think about, not in our day, but maybe in our grandparents' day, you know, you sent your clothes off to the laundry, like your shirts came back starched, and they were very stiff. And what you had to do was you had to soften them so that you could move your arm around in it when you wore it. That seems to be what he's talking about. Just what you do during the week after you've washed your clothes, you sort of fold it and soften it and roll it up, whatever. And also you're not allowed to fold clothes on Shabbat like you would do during the week after you've washed them. Etc., etc., and then he's got these five conditions. Now the Rambam is learning it differently to the way the Rashi was learning it. Why? How did Rashi understand this mekaplin as a tikkun mana? Rashi understood that after you've worn your clothing, you don't want it to get creased, and therefore you fold it up carefully so that it doesn't get creased. The Rambam seems to understand it differently. That has the Rambam understanding it. You want to put a crease into the garment. That's how it is. He says it's after you've washed it, you then fold it with a crease in it.
What shvarim really mean?
Shvarim, I think that means that I think he's talking about two different things. One, but they're both after you've washed after you've laundered the article of clothing. Some things they're very heavily starched, so shvarim
means to separate them.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean to break it up. It means to make it flexible. To pull them right. That's
maybe they're stuck together with the
maybe it's stuck together, but I think it really means to make it flexible. Well, and then you've got the dinavei mekaplin begadim. You've got your trousers have been through the wash, right? So now they've got no crease at the front. So you want to lay them out and straighten them with a nice crease in them, okay, or something like that. Or it's the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns it. I think he's learning it even something more fancy than that. Sort of pleating it in some way. They're putting in creases into the beged. And that's a real form of metake mana. That's, you know, previously it was unwearable in polite society, and now it's going to be wearable. And mevuad chol advarim hu mishum tikune kelim veinze kipul pashut. Okay, that's not just a regular way of folding it. Ela kipul kamase umanut. That's really a professional, crispy, clean way of doing it. That's we could have had the shiur sponsored by Crispy Clean. Kamosi katavar beit yad shvarim shvarim kama kamatim. Aval kipul pashut ein kepeda b'chol gavne. Just folding it up in the regular way, that doesn't matter at all. V'adin arishonim beveit avar sheniu mishnu b'shabbat. Vol shani sham fine. We're not interested in the hemshech there. Right, so we've got Makloket, Rambam, and Ravid. But what's the reason you're not allowed to fold these things up? The Rambam says it's because of Matakein, and the Ravid it's saying is because it's Matriach Lechol. Which
even
is,
the Rambam's not saying it's a proper Masakin because he says you're allowed to do it on Shabbos.
Under certain circumstances, right. That's right. It can't be a proper Matakein. That's the question. Why does the Rambam allow it under certain circumstances? Right. Because it's not a real... It's either that it's not a real Matakein, or I think it might be that if you're going to wear it Bo Bayom, then it'll come out again afterwards. Right, you know, the creases are, and therefore it's not shalkaima. Whereas if you're leaving, you know, it might be like kosher. Kosher also, that's if it's not for 24 hours, so it's not going to stay for 24 hours, so it's not an issue of matlog, but essentially it's not an issue of kesher shalkaima. So also, talking money, if the crease isn't going to stay.
He doesn't actually say that. He says because kadesh is no, in order to make Shabbos nice.
Okay, but it's clearly because it's not a full. If it was proper metake mana, it wouldn't be permitted. V'yeshnafka. So what we've got, machloket Rambam and Ravid is corresponding to the machloket Rashi and Tosfot that we saw. V'yeshnafka mina ledina ben hatamim de la Rambam late tam tircha muta lipol beged bekipul pashut. You can fold it up in a regular way. Shein bo tikun kli aflachol. You can do it even for during the week. The Rambam is saying doesn't seem to hold in this context, at least, with the an issue of hachana lechol. Or the Ravid asum misum tircha mishabbat lechol. The Ravid does have a problem of tircha mishabbat lechol. Even if it wasn't an issue of mitaken, even if you weren't getting rid of creases or putting creases in, the Ravid is saying that it's an issue because it's l'tzorech machar. So I think with Tosfot, the truth is you can read the Tosfot either way. You can say the Tosfot is just saying that it's not labor bayom, and that's why it's a problem, because everybody said it was not an issue of bor bayom. So I'm not 100% convinced that Tosfot is saying that it's solely an issue of hachana. But certainly the Ravid is saying that it's solely an issue of hachana. So that's the way that he's learning, and then he brings in the Mordechai and the Kolbor as well. If we look towards the end of if you'd bet, Vizmanenu, Yesh Habeshim Kaplin Talitotehem Shabbat, Yesh Lomad Disrulu to the Kibul Shalanu, Lekashum Tikun, Vatama Titircha Losfir and Ahu. So why do lots of people, remember the Aruch HaShulchan always likes to be Matstik the Minhag? Looks around, what are people doing? And let's see if we can relearn the Sugya, or learn the Sugya in a way that will justify what Am Yisrael Kedoshim are doing. So he says, you look around Shul after Shul on the Shabbos morning, loads of people folding up their talitot. Why is it? It's because kippul shelanu lekashum tikkun. Okay, like the Kol boy is saying, or like the Mordechai is saying. And you don't need to worry about hachana because Tamad Tircha Lo Sfira Hu Kedat Rashi VaRambam VaTor VaShulchan Aruch. None of them mention the concern of Tircha. And then he quotes the Kolbor to that extent. So now we've got a justification from the Aruch HaShulchan as to why people are folding up their talitot on Shabbat, because we hold that the real reason behind this Mishnah is like Rashi is saying, it's like the Rambam is saying, it's Matake Mana, and our type of kippul is not Matake Mana. We don't need to worry about Hachana. Now, just on this point, you're not worrying about the couple of things just to sort of conclude with. This issue of not worrying about Hachana, it's clear that the Shulchan Aruch does have a concept of Hachana, Mishabbat Lechol, and the Rambam does as well. So how are we getting around that? So there's a very instructive Chaye Adam at the end of Hilchot Sukkah, where he's talking about clearing up the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret and bringing in the chairs, whatever, for Simchat Torah. Is that permitted? Can you do that on Yom Tov? Can't you do that on Yom Tov? So he says the definition of a hachana is something which is, it's the whole activity is something which is totally directed towards completing something and having it ready for the next day. Something which is much more casual isn't a problem. Comes up, there's a question, comes up, where you've got two days Yom Tov, Shabbat and Yom Tov, something like that. You forgot to take the challah out of the freezer. You forgot to take something out of the freezer on Shabbat, before Shabbat to eat on second day Yom Tov or something like that. Can you take it out first day? So it'll be ready for second day. So a number of poskim suggest that you can't take it out on first day Yom Tov and put it on the stove so that it'll be it'll be defrosted and cooked through for the next day. That you definitely can't do. I mean, it's something that's casual as just taking something out of a freezer, and putting it on the sideboard. So some people say that you can do that because that's not real hachana, and that would seem to fit in with what we're saying here. Now, I've got a kash against that. Rav Moshe Feinstein's got the famous tube about brushing your teeth on Shabbat, where he says that even if he allows you to brush your teeth with a dry toothbrush, but he says you can't rinse it off afterwards because that's hachana l'chol. So I've always had a bit of a problem with that. I don't think that's hachana l'chol. I think it's just you don't leave, always when you finish brushing your teeth, you wash off your toothbrush. I'm not washing off my toothbrush so it'll be clean for the next day. I'm not washing my teeth because you wash your toothbrush after you've done it. It's not real hachana. So I've got a kasha on that tube of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So the question is, it's discussed by the Achronim, the Dirshu Mishnah Brura brings down a bit of a discussion about sort of, hanging up your trousers, Friday night you want to wear a different suit on Shabbat day, or you don't want your trousers just to be left in a heap somewhere, getting creases in them. Is that going to be a problem? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, he quotes as saying that that's not real kippel, in terms of especially, you can just pick them up by the bottoms and they fall into the creases. That would be a pro- others argue but Rosh Hashanah says it's not a problem. It would be a problem if you take your trousers, you know, on Friday night, you straighten them across the table and smooth them out so that the crease will be nicely in, or you'll get rid of any, sort of stop any creases developing in it. That would be a problem. But just to hang them up in a casual fashion, hang them up over the hanger in the normal fashion, that's not really a matakein manner. There are some, I think he quotes Rav Nissim Karelitz, who says it is a problem, but Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't seem to see it as being a problem. There's also a discussion there about, you know, if your hat, you know, has got a dent in, or the dent came out of it, or something like that, is that going to be matakein mana or something like that? That's maybe why I'm mucking not to wear a hat. And they'll also discuss the same question about folding serviettes, folding napkins. That's in a fact, bishop's mitre or a swan or whatever it is that going to be an issue of mataki mana? So Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to think that it is. That's just a very simple way, just to, you know, put it inside the cup or something like that. The Shevet HaLevi is a bit more, even the Shevet HaLevi comes to the conclusion you really shouldn't do it, but he's not absolutely clear that it's mataki mana. Adkan.
So if you deal with a chana and you deal with tikkun, what about the other three exceptions? So it has to be new or white or whatever.
Right, because all of those things will mean that it's not going to be, it's not proper, nothing substantive is being done.
If it's not a new baggage, you have a talis that you wash, does that become a problem?
That's, so it would depend on how we're learning, but essentially, I still say that's probably not an old beggar. You know, an old beggar is something which, certainly the way we've learned it now, is something which has got lots of creases, or it's lost its creases totally. Usually, you have your talit dry cleaned, comes back, it's got the crease nicely in it. That's still got the din of a beged chadash. You know, when you fold up your talus, you know, in the creases, you know, it's dependent on whether we're learning the Mataki Mana like the Rambam saying or like the Rosh saying, but they've both got these five conditions. It's just according to the Rambam, it's a new beged because the crease is in there. So you're not putting in a new crease. And according to Rashi, it's a new beged because, you know, his definition of Mataki Mana is different anyhow. It's smoothing it out very, very, very carefully. So as long as you're not smoothing it out very carefully, it's not going to be...
So it doesn't matter then if it's white or dyed or if it's...
That's... Lichora, the Shulchan Aruch does mention these things, but it depends how evident, that's I think what the issue is, how evident is the crease in the things. You've got a pair of trousers, right? So it's you're not folding it up in a very focused sense, either in the sense that Rashi's saying, I mean, both ways it'll work. Rashi says you can fold your trousers and put them on the hanger. Why? Because you're not putting in a crease, which would be a problem according to the Rambam, and you're not smoothing it out very carefully, which would be the problem according to Rashi. So really, we're solving the problem in a different way. That it is begadim tzavui. It's definitely begadim tzavui. Right. That actually doesn't matter, because the bottom line is, you're not actually doing mataki mana. The point is, our type of kippul begadim isn't kippul begadim, either according to Rambam or according to Rashi. That's what it boils down to.
I thought, maybe I'm wrong, I thought I was avoiding the problem that when my wife washes the talus, I tell her, do not iron it into folds. Just iron it as one flat sheet. And then when I fold it any pattern I feel like. So from week to week when I fold it after davening, I'm just folding it any old neatly, but any old...
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think both she thought would really be happy with that. Yeah. That's the only issue would be, you know, is if you've got... let's say you like creases in it, and she ironed it without creases in it. So then the first Shabbos you wear it, you know, after davening, you're spending 25 minutes, you know, folding it up carefully. So that would definitely be a problem. It might even be, you know, some people, you know, see something, you know, they're always smoothing out their talus after. You know, that might be a problem, you know, putting it back into the folds. But so if it's got folds and you're just sort of slotting it back into the folds, then certainly according to the Rambam, that wouldn't be a problem. And I think even according to Rashi, it wouldn't be, because, you know, it's fitting in with the Mordechai and the Kolbo. That as long as you don't do it in a very meduyak fashion, then that would be.
The other point is, if you fold it up in order to put it in the bag, so it's not resting up the whole place.
Yeah, that's brought down as a consideration. I mean, we can see the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, you know, Mikol Makom Mishir Rotz Elach Milatzmo Shelol Kapel Klal Vaday Adif. So it depends, you know, where you are. You know, if you're a guest in somebody else's house, you know, and you don't want to just leave your talus hanging around there, then you know, definitely fold it up. It's easy for you to. To fold it up. You know, some place, you know, you leave your talus in shul, you know, in a locker, and you don't come back till during the week or something. It's going to get lots of creases in it if you don't put it away nicely. So then, you know, be room to rely on the Mordechai and the kolbot.
And then a tablecloth to do with two people. That you want to change.
And I think that's so again the tablecloth folding. You've got a dirty tablecloth, you're folding it up.
Not even a dirty, that's
clean. It's clean, you want to put it back. I think, again, the Mordechai and the kolbot, they wouldn't have a problem because they're saying, our type of giving, it's just a large tablecloth, so you're doing it with two people. But again, you're not smoothing it out in any sense.
Rashi dishes the nearing thing that's going to look like Misaki.
No, but
two people is a...
I think he's looking at the result rather than the action. I think he's looking at the tosa.
That's because two people make it look more, the optics are more sakin oriented.
You could say that. I think he's saying that it's tosa orientated rather than maisa orientated. Two people do it, you'll get a better result. You have to look at what Rashi's definition of matake might. Rashi is concerned about getting rid of the creases. So two people can do a much better job than one. His whole concern is one of Nirek and Mataki. It's not really Mataki.
I know it's another before I should talk about whether it's good for your Shalom Bayis to fold your talis right after.
That's the famous story. Yeah. That's the famous story.
It's brought down.
The Mishnah Berurah brings it down that the first thing you should do, Motzei Shabbat, is a segula. Is to fold your talit. Yeah, but that's the famous story.
I've forgotten.
No, so, yeah, you'll tell them the story.
No,
you know, you're telling this, we're thinking the same story.
No,
there's somebody, Rabbi Shul, he's leaving Motzei Shabbos, and he sees this younger man, he's folding his talus and unfolding it again, straightening it, folding it, redoing it again. He says, well, why are you taking Sarah? 25 minutes he's been doing this. So he says, I saw it's a skula for Shalom Bayit to fold your talit very very carefully on a Motzei Shabbat. He says, yeah, it's also a skula for Shalom Bayit to go home and help with the dishes. Shkoyah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Shkoyah.
Thank you, nice to see you. You're Pesach Gross then?
I am.
Wonderful, nice to meet you.